Bible, chapter 27, if you're able and willing, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalms chapter 27, I failed to do that in Sunday school, but it's something I'd like to get in the habit of doing. Psalms chapter number 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto me, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Father in heaven, we come before you. We've had a good time being in the house of God, I believe. We've been able to fellowship with like-minded believers. We've been able to lift our voices in song. You've at least given us a measure of health to be here. And we just pray that it would all have been leading up to the opening of the Word of God. That as your book has been opened, our hearts and our lives might be opened. We might look into the mirror of the Word of God and see ourselves reflected clearly. Take note of what should be shored up. Other things that should be changed. And God, we would, if anything gets changed, it is us changing our lives to be in conformance with the glory and the Word of God, rather than trying to change your image, change your Word to fit us. Help us, we pray, as we look into this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking about waiting on God, waiting on the Lord. We're going to talk about that once again, and the different things that waiting often involves or requires. And this morning, we'll go to Isaiah 40 again towards the end of the message for the reference on eagles again. But how on waiting often requires transformation. Or that is what is happening. That through transformation, we find renewal. That when we come to God and say, "God, I'm out of strength, I'm out of energy, I need help." Sometimes it's that waiting process, it's that valley in which he's trying to transform us. And in that transformation, we find the renewal that we are looking for in God. And that is life. God is trying to transform us. We got translated at salvation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But sanctification is a whole other process where we are transformed more into the image of Christ. One day we'll have that glorified body, we'll be perfect, we'll be like him because we'll see him as he truly is. But that transformation, that sanctification process, that being transformed into something which we don't find natural, often comes through waiting. Not through doing nothing, but through the waiting series, through the process. We'd like to be what we're supposed to be today. And we should be more of what we are supposed to be than we were yesterday. I understand that. But sometimes we get frustrated and say, "I just wish that I was a better this or a better that, or that I had arrived and I could say I have apprehended." And you say, "I've never felt that way." Then we've certainly felt that way about somebody else. And said, "I wish they would just be this or they would just be that and they would get to where they need to be." But there's a process. And oftentimes it involves a valley. Oftentimes it involves suffering and pain. It involves being in a situation or a season of life that we wouldn't have selected the details for ourselves. In Psalms chapter number 27, verse number 2, he says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. And I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't mean be there as far as cannibals attacked you and tried to eat you. If you've been there, I don't believe you. But in verse number 2, he says, I find myself in a situation that is eating away at me. It is consuming me. It is trying to eradicate me. Verse number 3, he says, though an host should encamp against me. So he says, it's a situation that's eating me up. It's consuming me. It's a situation that I find myself outnumbered and overwhelmed. Verse number 3 towards the end, he talks about this war that he feels like he is in. Verse number 10, he talks about father and mother, even the relationships that have turned against them, that have forsaken them, and he is quite overwhelmed. He is quite outnumbered, you would say. The enemies from without are after him. The enemies from within are at war. Those that are closest to him, that should be his support system, have seemed to turn on him. And God is going to do something in his life. We talked about last Sunday as we ended the message about going back into talking about eagles this week. And use the metaphor or the picture of eagles as far as the spiritual growth or the growth of a Christian in today's message. And let me just give you several things here, and we'll go back to Psalm chapter 27 for application, and Isaiah as well. When we talk about eagles, eagles are referenced about 30 times in the Bible, different ways. Sometimes it's referenced as God as the eagle, as a parent eagle. Exodus says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So sometimes it's as a picture of God, but oftentimes it's used very metaphorically in the Word of God. In one passage, I think it's Micah, it talks about how we are to enlarge our baldness like the eagle. And some of us have taken that up on that challenge. We've enlarged our baldness over the years, but that's not what it's talking about. But it's metaphors. As the lion is the king of the jungle, somebody said, the eagle is the king of the air. They're majestic. They're known for being swift, for being strong. They're superior as far as in the air. Their sharp-eyed quality about them. How their setting is usually on high. The eagles are certainly a regal creature. And if we can use the metaphor of eagles in Psalms 27, about being in this valley, outnumbered, overwhelmed, being consumed, at war, where we're going to succumb to this unless we choose to see the goodness of God, as a picture of the eagles as well in their life. We referenced the word ornithologist last week. You can write it down, look it up later. But it's a study of birds, basically. Some of them study birds, ornithologists, and how they're the different methods of flight. And we can use it as a metaphor, as an application for spiritual growth, even as we get to Psalms 27. Because I understand the introduction doesn't seem like it fits Psalms 27, but bear with me. Because there's different levels of flight, if you will, in the bird kingdom. And we mentioned the first one last week in quickness, is the idea that ornithologists, they say there's flapping. Where the bird is keeping their wings in constant motion in order to counteract gravity. If you've never seen it, just put up a hummingbird feeder. And those birds can almost keep up with my kids with their wings. But their wings are in constant motion to counteract gravity. It is the flapping that keeps them in the air. And it does. It accomplishes the job of not being on the ground. It keeps them in the air, but it's a lot of work. And it's all up to the effort they're putting into it. It all rides on them. If we could say, if we can keep all the plates spinning and everything's up to me and I've got to put all this effort in, I've got to keep myself off the ground spiritually, that certainly it works for a while, but it's a lot of work. The ornithologists say that there's not just flapping, but there's gliding. It's not where birds are completely and constantly drumming their wings against the air to stay off the ground, but birds have built up speed. They get up high and they build up speed and they coast downward for a while. And if you've ever seen it, if you were a bird, you'd prefer it. It's much more graceful to glide than to flap. Sounds like this is quickly turning into a Pastor Chuck Barnes message, and I don't know why. Because we got the flappers in here, we got the gliders in here, we just go all sorts of places. But it's much more graceful than flapping when you watch birds in nature, when they're gliding. But it's still, unfortunately, it doesn't get the bird very far. Because if you're not flapping, but you've gone to the point of gliding, where you had a high moment, a high area of your life, they are using, but will be defied by at some point, gravity. And at some point, the form of gravity takes over, and gliding is nice. I'm not saying it's not, but it doesn't last. It's coasting off of prior effort. It's seeing how far I can get off of past victories. This flapping of all, like a hummingbird. I'm constantly, it's always up to me. I can keep all the place spinning. I have to be in control. I've got to keep myself here. It's very tiresome. It's very wearisome. Or this gliding where I have gotten on the winds. I have gotten up high. And now I'm going to see just how far I can coast on what I've already done. Or when we get to talking about eagles, there's what they call soaring. And only a few birds. Eagles are one of very few birds that are capable of soaring. Because you'll see some birds out there, and what they're not actually soaring, they're gliding. They have gotten up speed, and they're going to ride that speed as far as they can. But an eagle's wings are very strong. Most of this, many of you adults will already know, but they catch the rising currents of warm air. And just that thermal winds coming straight up from the ground, that warm air is enough with the strength of an eagle's wings to soar. That without ever moving a feather, they can soar to great heights. Without moving a feather, they've been clocked at 80 miles an hour without flapping at all. And they soar on invisible columns of air. Just a metaphor. It's a picture for us of flapping to gliding to soaring, where I learn to be renewed, where I learn to ride upon the invisible columns, the strength of the wind of the Holy Ghost. But there's a fourth stage, and I find the psalmist there at times in Psalms 27, where we've learned to go from flapping and everything's up to me and all the work is on me and I've got to control this, I've got to take care of this, to gliding, where I've learned to have some pockets and some occasions of spiritual success, occasions of high days with God, to where I just coast on them way too long and you find yourself crashing after a while, to learning how to soar. But there's a fourth stage that eagles go through. Eagles soar to some of the most incredible heights. The highest places you'll find a bird will be an eagle. But they also spend a lot of anxious days at a certain period in their life alone. And down in a valley, and it's called a molting period. Where eagles, usually mid-age, go to a chosen location. Sometimes it's a valley, sometimes it'll be an obscure meadow, sometimes there's a cleft or a crag in a rocky cliff. And they get down in there, and they are not soaring, they're not hunting. They're not regal, they're not majestic, but feathers begin to fall out. Calcium builds up on their beaks so much that they can't hold their head up. Talons begin to shrivel up and fall out. And this bird that is majestic, that is designed for soaring, must now go through a renewal. But it's a renewing process that only comes through transformation, being changed. I think we can say this is all story and introduction so far, that an eagle's survival is linked to its plumage. Their feathers insulate them, it protects them, it transports them, it identifies them. But the feathers of an eagle, if you know anything about the birds, become worn out, become frayed or weakened. They get built up with all the oils and the dirt on them. And with the wingspan of over 8 feet of an eagle, it's very important that their feathers, their plumage, stay light for soaring. And that they stay strong and very tight upon each other so that they are insulated from cold and from wet. For instance, the bald eagle that we have around here has several layers of feathers, and each layer has a different function. They got that outer layer, but under the outer layer is a layer of downy feathers. And it's important that they are strong, but that they're very light. So in their body, their feathers over time get very heavy with oils and with dirt, with weakness, with fraying, with being broken, that God has designed to where they come down into the valley, come down into a meadow, come down to a low place, and begin a molting process. And I'm not for humanizing animals. Animals don't have a soul. They don't die and go to heaven. I'm sorry, kids. Your goldfish probably just went down the toilet. Didn't go anywhere else. So I'm not for over-humanizing animals. Yes. We are doing that as a nation. If you touch a bald eagle egg, you go to prison. You kill a bit. We won't even go there this morning. Yes. But we over-humanize animals way too much. But it's, from what I have read and done my study, and I am not an ornithologist, that this molting period can be a time of, they call it, Great Depression for an eagle. Because where an eagle is supposed to be soaring, it is now, when it has the strength to walk, walking like a turkey. Man, this does sound like a Pastor Barnes sermon, isn't it? You got the flappers and the gliders and the turkeys. And the eagles will walk like a turkey because he has no strength to fly. But then they lose where they cannot see. They lose their vision because of sediment building up on their eyes. As we said, that calcium builds up on their beak, and all they can do is hang their head. And for many of these eagles, even bald eagles, the trauma is so great, many of them die from it. They say because they're used to the soaring, they're used to being on up high, they're used to being the king of the air, to come down, and now they are dirty, they are broken, they are molting, they are losing feathers, they have lost their eyesight, they lose their desire to eat. The eagle's only desire, their only eating, is of fresh meat. They have no way to hunt, no way to kill, so they lose all desire to eat. So of course this eagle, if it's a female eagle, she begins to lose weight. She begins to, she's gotten to the point she can no longer soar. Hope is now dead. Strength is gone. And it's been interesting, if you read some of these accounts of when the, whatever they call it, ornithologists come in and they study and they set up cameras or whatever and they study the valley, the meadow, and they're watching these molting eagles, that some of them, when they lose the desire to live and lose the desire to eat, that's not good enough. They turn and they start pecking on the other ones molting beside them. And they start killing each other off.
Yes, sir.
But they say somewhere in this process of molting, the eagles know, inherently from God obviously, that they need sunlight. That the warmth of the sunlight will help, that the nutrients from sun will help. So they make their way to a flat, hard area somewhere, or to a rock somewhere around, and they stretch out on the rock and just soak up sun. And that's not going to, going to transform. That's not going to save them altogether. But rather than just sitting with their head down and in this depression, if we can call it that, and being down, they can't feed themselves, they don't want to eat, they don't understand the process, they get over to a rock, they stretch out, they're soaking up warmth, they're getting nutrients, but then all of a sudden they hear a familiar sound from above. There's screaming and shrieking that has been observed when these ornithologists are watching these valleys and these meadows, and some of these birds are fighting each other. Some of them are dying off because they have no will to live. Some are at least getting to the rock and soaking up some of the sun, and then they see other eagles that have begun to circle, and they're shrieking and they're screaming down into the meadows below. And these eagles that can't even lift their head, can't see if they did, recognize the shriek, they recognize the screaming, and then they begin to hear the sounds of little bits of fresh meat raining down around them.
Yes, sir.
No desire to eat, little desire to live, but some of these eagles choose to begin to force themselves to eat these little bites, to take some of these little portions, and their body begins to absorb some of these nutrients. And if you read the accounts, as their strength begins to be renewed, they begin to follow certain steps. They'll stay directly on a rock in sunlight. They'll get to a rock somewhere, get into that sunlight, soak up the warmth, the strength, the nutrients, but they stay near a rock. They scrape the nubs of their talons off so they can regrow. They will hit their beaks and continue to scrape their beaks until the calcium is off so they can lift their head. And they begin to pluck out the old feathers. And they know, even as animals, if we don't renew, we die.
Yes, sir.
And some of them say, we'll eat and we'll recover, and others roll over and die. And say, I wasn't meant for this. The psalmist would say, I wasn't meant for this. We have read and I have time to grow from where it's all about me and my efforts and my labor and my strength to at least having some high days like Elijah on a mountain, or like Moses on the mountains, or the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. But now I'm back down here. I've glided down. I have soared for a while. I know what it's like to operate on the winds of the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't understand this was coming. The psalmist said, I'm overwhelmed, I'm outnumbered, there's enemies around me, there's enemies within me, and now even those closest to me have forsaken me. It's overwhelming. And some say, I will partake and be transformed and renewed, and others roll over and die.
Yes, sir.
But as these eagles renew their strength, their zeal, they say, comes back. Their energy comes back. Their ambition is recovered because they have eaten. They have grown the new feathers now. They are in full plumage. They look younger and stronger than ever before, but they're still blinded by the sediment on their eyes. I didn't know that. But these eagles have dropped the meat. They have eaten it. They have got to the rock. They have soaked up the sun, and now they have the strength, and they say even though they can barely see at all, if they can, they get as much speed as they can when they take off for the first time, and they fly straight into the wind. And as they fly straight into biting wind, it's not like towards the sun when they can roll back their eyelids, etc., and block it out. They leave them wide open, and the force of the wind causes tears to flow.
Yes,
and it washes their eyes repeatedly clean until their vision is restored. And in that process, now soar higher than they ever did before. We kind of apply it a little to life. That there have been many throughout the history of the Bible, even in our own lives we could see, who know what it's like to be on high places. That God has chosen to take down into a hidden, lonely place for a time of transformation and renewal. You say, God, I don't understand this valley. Bad enough I had enemies without, but I got enemies within fighting me. I got those closest to me fighting me. I got false accusations. I got wars. I got those that are gnawing upon me. It is consuming me. It is eating me up. God, I don't understand all this. And God says, I'm going to try to transform you that you may be renewed. Elijah, Mount Carmel, running for his life into a cave. Moses would go up to mountains often. We already mentioned it. You know, talk about Moses came back down. I'm not against the high places. I'm for them. I'm for the high moments, the great moments with God. The three disciples being selected and allowed to come up on top of the Mount of Transfiguration and watch that process. And then God brought them back down. For instance, right after some of the miracles that Christ did, the Holy Spirit takes Christ and leads him into the wilderness. I mean, the Lord had just had his Father audibly tell people, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is Jesus Christ." He was identifying him. "This is a very well-loved man. This is someone that everybody should listen to." And right after that, the Holy Spirit leads him up into a wilderness where he is going to be severely tested. Psalms 103 says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." So can I encourage you, when you find yourself no longer in the, one of those three stages, and it's a process of growth, I understand that, flapping, gliding, soaring, but now I am down in a valley of despair. Now I am waiting and wondering, God, what are you doing? Now, like an eagle who is molting, I have been stripped down to apparently nothing, it seems. No desire to eat. No desire to live. I'm not just talking about physically. We all like to eat sometimes. But if we are honest, and can we be honest before God, when the moment's coming, we say, God, I don't feel like feasting on the Word of God. I have no desire to read the Word of God. I don't want to pray. I'm not talking about you're hard-hearted, that you have a hatred towards God, but you're so overwhelmed, you're so beaten down, you've been stripped of everything you considered, your strength and your security and your safety, and say, I don't understand this. I have no desire. Our head is hung low, and life seems to be over. Can we at least take an example from the scriptures, from the animals, from the eagles, and get to a rock? Yes. When I'm down there and I'm molting and I'm dying, and some say, I'll just roll over and die and I'll call this thing called life and call it quits. I'm done with the things of God. If that's how it is, I want none of it. And others say, I'm going to renew. I am going to make it through this. But it comes by getting to the rock of ages and taking in the sun. S-O-N.
Yes, sir.
That I make it to a rock and I take in the sun. Wanting to, desiring to, having appetite to has nothing to do with it. It's a decision that I'm going to die if I don't.
Yes,
and I need to abide in the sun. And he knew abide in me. That when my strength begins to be renewed, I head deeper into the wind. I head deeper into an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, that he might refresh tears, that he might restore visions. Psalms chapter 27, if you're still there, verse number 13. After all this that he is describing, the enemies, the consuming process he is in, the wars, the fights, the false accusations, he says in verse 13, I had fainted. He's saying it's something you can mark down. Unless something happened, I was done. Unless there was some intervention, I was going to quit. I was going to succumb. I was going to die. He said, I had fainted. All I just described, it was too much for me. It was overwhelming. The flesh can't handle it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sounds familiar to Isaiah chapter 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Doesn't mean all the problems are over. Doesn't mean all the battles are done. That's part of life. But I have allowed God to transform and renew. I'll tell you something. I'll close here in a minute and give you some change on your time, it looks like. What I have read, I do probably read too much. I don't read enough. I say I read too much. You have to care about who you read. What about ornithologists that study birds? When they are watching this molting process down in a meadow or a valley, some obscure place, and some are dying, some are hanging on, some are in different various stages of the molting, that when they witness these eagles come in and begin to circle and begin to drop meat and begin to scream and shriek down words, they call it, of encouragement to the eagles below, they have never yet witnessed young eagles circling, dropping meat. Every time, it's been rare that they have captured it or have witnessed it, it is always older eagles who have been through the molting process. It is always eagles who have been down, who have been out, who have gone through the process and knows what it takes to get out of that valley.
Yes,
knows what it takes to get out of the meadow. Knows what it takes to get back in the wind. Knows what it takes to get back to the rock. Knows what it takes to get back to the sun. And they say, it's not the young ones say, we have the strength and we can hunt, we can get the food. They don't understand what is yet to come. It is those that have been there and have been brought through that say, we are going to turn and help the other ones. Look, can I say this? If that is you and you're in the valley, you are in that waiting season of life, understand what is being shown here. The eagles above are telling the ones below. The saints above are telling the ones below. Senior saints here on earth are telling those of us that are behind them, you can make it because I did. You can get through because I did. You don't have to roll over and die. You don't have to succumb. You don't have to turn your back on God. You don't have to quit on God. You don't have to call it quits. You don't have to walk away. You don't have to throw it all away. You don't have to think. You can believe on the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. I've been there and I've made it through.
Amen.
Something else though, why we should understand if we're in there. One, there's those above, those that have made it through that are telling us the same thing. But there's no room in these valleys, in these meadows, in these seasons for eagles to be devouring each other. For them to be killing each other off. That does nothing for the process. Me killing off another molting eagle doesn't speed up my recovery. Me attacking somebody else for being down and out doesn't get me back in the wind any faster. Number one, we can make it, you can make it because they did is the picture. But can I also say this? You need to make it, one, because they did. There's those that are helping along, those that are the example before us. But you need to make it because there's others who are going to need you. Because everything else, can I tell you, your trial is not about just you. There are some other young eagles that have no idea what molting is. They have no idea there's a meadow or a valley or a cliff coming ahead. They have no idea. But one day they're going to find themselves in a dark valley. They're going to need some help. They're going to need some encouragement to get them through. And it's not just about when I'm in the valley absorbing the meat. Oh, that's part of it. Taking the nutrients, saying, look, they have made it. They understand if God has helped them through, He can help me through. I can make this. That is part of it. The other side is to say, I will not roll over and die here. I will not stay here. I will not succumb. I will be transformed. I will be renewed. I will get to the rock. I will get to the sun. I will get in the wind because I know there's a bunch of other young eagles back there. One day they're going to be right here too because everybody has valleys. Everybody has a meadow. Everybody has a trial. And I want to be somebody up there circling and dropping down some meat. Dropping down a word of encouragement. Dropping down a card. Dropping down a phone call. Dropping down a scripture verse. Sending up a prayer and letting them know you can make it because I did. God is trying to transform us in the valley of waiting. God is also going to use us to help somebody else when they get to their valley of waiting. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. The psalmist said it, as we have read it twice now, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good strength, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer.